And good morning, and away we go on this Tuesday, March the 31st, 2020, 14 minutes past the hour, last day of March 2020. How about that? And when we came into March, who would have thought we would be going out of March like this? Isn't there a saying, something comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb? Well, we did not have the horrible weather that sometimes winter likes to throw at us in the month of March, but we certainly had something very unexpected that none of us expected. I don't think anybody in the world suspected what happened, and that, of course, being the coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak. Now, this morning, we're going to be joined, and I believe we're about to be joined by this person, so we're just going to hold on for that and go from there. And as we continue on this morning through the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic here in Marion, there are a lot of things going on, a lot of changes, and a lot of questions, and we try to keep you updated here live on the air every morning, and we are so pleased to be joined with an update on everything that's going on by our Marion Health Commissioner, Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Tracy, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, since this all started 3 weeks ago now, how busy have you been? How many hours are you putting in a day in your staff?
So we have about 10 of us that are working on the response, and we're working all day during business hours. A lot of us are going into the evening, and then we're putting in quite a few hours on the weekends, too.
It must be a tremendous strain at this point, facing something of this magnitude.
It is. We're a small health department, and we're trying to make sure that we're taking care of everybody here in Marion County. But so it's exhausting, but we're up to the challenge. We, you know, knew this was a possibility when we joined public health, and it's kind of in our blood, and it's what we like to do, so we're happy to do it.
I'm glad to hear that, and we're certainly thankful for you. The last update we had yesterday, 8 people, is that correct, diagnosed?
Yeah.
In yeah, 8 people is where mm-hmm. we stand, and there are some interesting things in this since we talked last time, that one person is actually in the hospital, is that correct?
Yes.
As far as that goes, what would be the difference between somebody who would be in the hospital and the 7 who are recovering at home? What would be the need to go to the hospital? Is it the severity of the case?
Yeah, so in general, if somebody's having trouble breathing, that's typically what sends them to the hospital. So a person may be hospitalized for a few days or, you know, overnight or whatever to get that under control and then be able to be released. In other cases, you know, they start to get pneumonia because they have the COVID in their lungs, and then they start to require a ventilator to help them breathe. So then they're in the hospital for a longer period of time because they're on that ventilator.
We learned overnight that a doctor at the OSU Wexner Medical Center has died from COVID-19. Is there worry about that from the health professionals here at in Marion? Is there a fear of that, and is some kind of precaution being taken place?
Yeah, I mean, there's always that fear because they're the ones that are being exposed over and over and over again. And that's why the personal protective equipment, PPE, is so important for our hospitals to have. Those masks, gowns, hoods, gloves, that's what's going to keep them safe, keep them from being in this position of dying. So it's really important that that we have that for them, and there are shortages all over the country. So it's another reason why we're trying to flatten that curve. It's not so much that it's going to limit the amount of cases that we have, but it's limiting the, it's slowing down how frequently people come to the hospital so that, you know, they can use that, you know, what's become precious, PPE, appropriately to try to save their own lives.
Mm. Now, as far as the shortages that we have here in Marion, what are the things that we're looking for, and where should people go with these items, or who should they call?
They can call the Emergency Management Agency, and if you look on Facebook, you'll see their number. I'm sorry, I don't have that with me. But really, at this point, we need stuff that we know is already sanitized. And so an unopened box of gloves or masks is really what we're taking now. If we take stuff that people have had in their house and it's opened or it's not an official sanitized, you know, they call them N95 mask, then we're risking exposing them to COVID or other viruses and things that might be, you know, lurking on them from somebody's house.
And the number we have here is 740-223-4142. That's 740-223-4142. That's the Marion County EMA if you have any of those items. Tracy, the thing we're hearing, certainly in New York and all over the country at this point, is when this curve reaches its peak, are the hospitals ready? Do we have enough ventilators? Do we have enough everything? In Marion, in the district we're in Ohio, how confident are we that we are going to be okay equipment-wise?
We are fortunate to be part of Ohio Health, which has several hospitals. And so they're working on pulling their equipment to certain hospitals that will have the staff that's well-trained to deal with these pulmonary issues, respiratory issues that are coming with COVID. So I think they're working on a plan to pull equipment to those places, and then other patients that don't have COVID would go to a different hospital that, you know, they don't have to worry so much about having that equipment. So they are making plans, but as we peak and it gets worse and worse, you know, it's inevitable that we will end up in a place like a situation like New York or something like that. So that, you know, we are expecting that to happen, and we're hoping more PPE is going to be created to help with that. I know they're working on building ventilators. So, again, if we can slow stuff down until that equipment gets made and is readily available, that gives our healthcare system the best chance. But, you know, we're kind of getting to that point where we have what we have.
The peak of this, we're watching Governor DeWine and Dr. Atkin every day at 2 p.m. Is the peak now believed to happen sometime in May? Is that where we are here in Ohio at this point?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is the, we hear the word peak and top of the curve. What does that mean? What is that going to look like in Marion County? I mean, I know we don't know exact numbers, but what exactly should that, where are we in the curve now and where would that be?
I think we're still kind of going up the curve. We're not near the peak yet. And like I said, that will come maybe at the end of April, but now they're pushing it back to the end of May. And so it really just means that that's when we'll have our most cases. And then after we peak, I mean, we could peak for a long time. We could be at the top of that curve seeing the most cases. You know, then we peak, we start to trend back down. And so after a while, we'll start to see less and less cases, and that's how we know we're sort of on the other side. But I think for us here in Marion, I mean, they're using planning numbers. You've heard them on Dr. Acton's call. For anywhere from 40% on the good side to 70% on the worst-case scenario side, being infected with COVID throughout a whole year. So hopefully, you know, we get our peak sometime in May and then we start to slide back down that curve, but it will take a long time to get back down that other side.
That being said, right now we have 8 infected in Marion, 7 at home, 1 in the hospital. Do we have any idea when we reach that peak, what that number might look like in Marion at this point, being how we've progressed over the last 3 weeks?
I don't have a number. I'm still using Dr. Acton's theory that it's going to double every 6 days. So I feel like we're kind of on trend with that here in Marion. So the other part of that is that as testing becomes more and more available, we're going to see a big spike in our positive cases because people are finally getting tested. Mm. So it's hard to say, you know, we could get a big surge of cases as testing is available here in the next week or two, and then not have any for a while and then get another big surge. So it's all going to depend on how that testing rolls out.
Just kind of to clarify here, and certainly not to frighten people, but at this point, we have what we have as far as ventilators and equipment would go. And would that need meet the spike at this particular point if everything that Dr. Atkin and other cases in Ohio have gone?
I don't think it would. I think in a few more weeks, we're going to find ourselves in a position like they are in New York. Now, that would mostly affect, they call them the three C's, Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, because they are, you know, our hubs here in Ohio, and they're our most populous areas. So how that impacts Marion specifically, because we are more rural, is yet to be seen, but I do believe that our hospital systems will be overwhelmed within the next few weeks.
What happens in that position? It sounds just, you know, it sounds frightening, to be honest.
It's very frightening. You know, we've not been in a situation like this, you know, for 100 years. So we're seeing hospitals have around the country having to make those decisions that you saw them making in Italy and China. We're going to see that here, too. How long do you keep somebody on the ventilator? What chance do they have to pull through? Do we need the ventilator for somebody else? Those hard choices are going to start to happen.
When you think about that, when I think about that as a non-medical person, that's, I don't even know what to say. What do you think when you think about that?
It's, you know, I go through these periods where I'm grounded in it, I accept it, and I know that it's coming, and then I kind of go through these periods where I'm like, I can't believe this is actually happening to us. But this is what a pandemic is. And so it's a very scary thing. We're hoping that the numbers stay, you know, more towards that 40% with all the stay-at-home that we've been doing and things like that. But you just don't know. You don't know how the virus is going to mutate. And so it's definitely something everybody needs to be taking very seriously. I think one of the things people don't understand is because when somebody's in the hospital, like those healthcare workers we were talking about, trying to keep them healthy, let's say you and your spouse are both positive. If one of you takes a turn for the worse and winds up in the hospital, the other won't be able to come with you because you're a positive case. So we have to keep you isolated from the medical field. So there's going to be a lot of suffering, I feel like, that comes with this. And I don't want to scare people either, but I want them to take it seriously because you don't understand the ramifications of what's going to happen.
You know, I think in this country we all ask why, if we know it's coming, is there any way to get the ventilator number up? Is there any way to get the equipment up? Or is it just impossible at this point?
I think that over the next few months, hopefully we'll be able to get that number up as companies are starting to make them more, and they're starting, Dr. Atkin talks about how they're starting to figure out how they can put two people on one ventilator. So that's new technology. But when you're in a pandemic situation like this, there's never enough equipment. There's not going to be enough equipment because it's going to overwhelm hospital systems all over the country. And so we can't just borrow equipment from Indiana or Tennessee or something like that. They're going to need it for their own patients. So this is what it means to be in a pandemic when you have such a massive amount of cases and it does have a death rate associated with it. It's just the situation that we're in.
A couple more questions. I know, Tracy, you're very busy at this time, but one of the big stories this past weekend was that somebody at the correctional institution was infected. Now, is this a fear with all the prisoners and guards and people who work there? And what is the situation with that particular situation?
Yeah, we have had the prisons, you know, on our mind, just like we had the long-term care facilities on our mind or anywhere where there are a bunch of people congregating. And so I've been pleased with the prison's response, and I think even before they had a case, they had done everything they could. They're cleaning everything as much as they can. They're isolating inmates and guards from each other as much as they can. So they have a good plan in place, but when you have a big group of people, it's inevitable. It's going to happen that you're going to have cases there, and it's going to lead to an outbreak.
Are people,
so we just have to, as responders, we have to work through that.
Do we know if it was a, are we allowed to say, was it a prisoner or a guard or anything of that?
I'm not allowed to say anything like that. And I also will say there's, you know, because with guards, for example, they're not just from Marion. They're from all our surrounding counties that work there. So that will, you know, impact other communities as well.
Mm. When this happens, are people at the prison now being tested, prisoners, other guards?
I think that there is some other testing being done now. So I would expect that number to go up, the amount of people from the prison that test positive.
We've seen these tents being set up in Marion. How is that all going to work? And do we have a test now that can give us a diagnosis on a fairly quick basis?
The Ohio Department of Health can test really quickly within the same day. The issue with that, I think some of our providers are, this is my speculation, some of our providers would rather send the test to a private lab because ODH is following more strict guidelines of who they'll test. So there, those guidelines that you see on the coronavirus.ohio.gov is what ODH is following. So there's some physicians, I think, that are having more people with mild symptoms, but they're testing them, which is fine. We need to test people, but it's taking a long time to get those results back. So I'm hoping that, I know that some of our hospital systems are working on new tests all across the state that will have results really quickly. So I'm hoping that that continues to grow. But yes, we do have the tent on Barks Road. In order to get tested there, you do have to have a doctor's order. So what happens is if you talk to your doctor over the phone, describe your symptoms and your situation, he will then discuss with the assessment center. They have physicians that your provider will contact. They'll have a discussion about whether you qualify for the test. And if they do, they'll issue the testing order so that you can come to the Barks Road location and get tested. So you'll have an appointment time and things like that.
Mm. And Tracy, before I let you go, because I think it's important to mention this every time, again, what do people feel like who have this in the early stages, and what are the best ways, we know stay at home, but to avoid getting this illness if you have to go out?
I think the symptoms are expanding as we know more about the virus. So we have the three main ones, and that's a fever, a cough, and shortness of breath. But we're also seeing people that have, you know, some of those symptoms, but they're also experiencing headaches, backaches, muscle pain, diarrhea, sore throat, things like that. So the symptoms are kind of progressing. But a lot of people just report, I don't feel right, and you kind of know it in your body when something's off. So in those situations, even if you don't have a fever, you should be staying at home. The other thing is, if you're over the age of 60, you should stay home as much as you possibly can because this impacts them at a more severe pace. So for all of us who know people over the age of 60, let's take that on for them to go to the grocery store, for them to go to the bank for them, and try to keep them at home as much as possible.
Mm.
If you are going to the grocery store and things like that, try to go at a time when there's not so many people there, and make sure you're keeping your distance as much as you can. The other thing is to make sure when you leave the grocery store that you wash your hands really well, get those germs off of you. Things like that are what's going to keep you safe the most. But please, if you feel even, you know, a little bit off, talk to your employer, talk to your doctor, and see if maybe you should be staying at home.
Tracy, one quick question before I let you go, because I've had this asked. We now know it can live on surfaces. How long could it live on a surface that nobody is any longer at who might have had it?
I know. They're kind of changing what they know about it often. So I think it can live on surfaces anywhere from 1 to 3 days.
Oh, man.
But if you visit the Corona site, they can give you more information because they're kind of changing that as they learn more about the virus. But, yeah, it can survive for quite a while on a surface.
Tracy, it's invaluable to have you on the air with us. I know the people of Marion appreciate it. I appreciate it. And, boy, I appreciate the work you're doing. And please stay in touch and keep up the good work. I know it's a tough fight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tracy Kinsler, Commissioner at Marion Public Health. That's very sobering, to say the least. You know, I appreciate her candidness in that conversation, because that is not a pleasant conversation to have in regard to what is going on here in Marion. 35 minutes past the hour, and not just in Marion, obviously, all across the country. But that's something to hear. But you've got to be honest, and I appreciate Tracy's candidness and honesty this morning, because we've got to know what's ahead of us. We cannot treat this like it's going to be a big nothing, because it's not a big nothing. And for her to come on the air, I know she's working around the clock, so to spare any time to come on the air, we certainly do appreciate that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I've said it before, and it's getting to even a bigger point here. The world has stopped. The world has just stopped. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, okay, doing all right this morning. I trying to stay positive throughout this whole mess going on, and I listened to the interview and find out, they're trying to get it under control, but the virus is spreading so fast, so hopefully employers will start letting a lot more people, if they have to stay open and work from home, a lot faster than what they're doing, because the virus, like he said, they're testing it on surface. So it can live up to what 1 to 2 days probably.
Could be
something like that.
And they're changing it every day, so it's very difficult to know.
So,
I'll tell you what was very sobering in that conversation, and anybody who just heard it moments ago, we do not have enough ventilators, we do not have enough equipment, and we are not going to have enough. And that's just going to be the way it is. I appreciate her honesty, but boy, that's frightening.
Yeah, it is, and that's why we have to protect the people that are over 60, like you were saying, because I say that younger people can't die, because there is, so don't stay out there just because I'm, 20 years old, I can go out and do what I want. No, that's not the case. But we have to protect the older people and allow them to, because they still need groceries and stuff like that still, so they still got to live their life. Well, we need to protect those people, because when they get it, it's like she said, it's more severe than the average person, the younger person. But again, I'm an older person, and it's, like I said, 101-year-old, I saw on the news, she was 101, I think he even survived the Spanish sickness they had back years ago.
Well, I do, but what I'm thinking, though, is, right now we have 8 people and only 1 is in the hospital. This is probably a lot of attention to these people. 8 people, we can handle that. We have the medical professionals to do that. But when we hit the top of this curve in May now, it's not going to be like that. And it's going to be, I believe, people of all ages. I believe the age range now in Marion, I think there's somebody as young as 23 years old who has it. Now, I don't think they are in the I don't know. We don't know who's in the hospital and who's not, so I'm not even going to make a guess. But I know there are, I think it's age 23 to 80 at this point, are these 8 people. And some are at home. One's in the hospital. And, at some point that number's going to be so big that we are not going to have the equipment, and she flat out said that, and I think that's very honest of her, and I appreciate the honesty, but boy, we better get ready for that. I don't think we believe it, in a way, because this has never happened in anybody's lifetime.
Oh, absolutely, and also, I want to mention, we had some celebrities that actually passed away from this complication. So it is a very, very serious disease that is spreading, and people have got it under control. This is not a joke. This is definitely a serious situation that we have on our hands that we have to try our best to all work together to follow the rules that the the governor and the health commissioners and the directors and or stuff like that, the doctors and all that are trying to put these orders in place. They're not just doing the orders just for the heck of it. They're doing it to protect people. And so people have got to listen. This is not a joke. This is something serious. And, it's just something that came around that it's not a jokey matter. You know what I mean? So
I
all work together and try to solve it.
I have a feeling that people see what's coming. I believe the health commissioners, the governor, Dr. Atkin, people on a national level like Governor Cuomo, the president, I believe they see what's coming in May, and I believe that is why they're trying to flatten this curve now. But I don't know if you can at this point, because it is living on surfaces. People do have to go to the store. People are infected. Apparently, the testing is not where we want it to be yet. It's going to be very, very difficult to flatten this curve, and we are going to reach a peak, and we are not near it yet. A matter of fact, apparently, we're more than a month and a half away from it.
Right. Exactly. And, people got to realize, the United States of America, we have a lot of people here. It's not just in Ohio. It's spread in all 50 states. Of course, all the other countries that have it. So it's across the world that is affecting this disease. In order to try to stop this, we're going to all have to work together and follow the rules best you can. I understand you have to go out. You got to go out. Just go to work. You got to go to work. If you go to the grocery store, got to go to the grocery store. But if you don't have to go to the bank, don't go to the bank. Just do online deposits. I mean, I understand that some of that, they're not doing that right now. But, I don't know. I guess we'll just have to all try to work together and try to work with the government on this and try to solve this best we can, I guess.
Well, all I know is I hope if you're well right now, I hope you're staying home. I hope that you have somebody who can go to the grocery store for you if you have an underlying condition. And I think everything else that we think about in everyday life, paying the bills and, making sure everybody has a meal and all these things that are always first in our life, I think at some point right now, we're going to have to say, listen, this is life or death, and I think that's what it's come down to. And we are going to have to say, all that other stuff's going to have to go out the window for a minute, because it's not going to matter if we are in the hospital and there are not enough ventilators to keep us alive. So people better start thinking about that now, rather than later.
Absolutely. I'm heading to my job, and as I'm talking to you, and I'm trying to stay home. I'm trying to get the work to home order. Because I have severe conditions that underlying conditions that will affect even my age. I'm 40 years old, and I'm not a young chicken anymore either myself. So I'm trying to work on my deal to stay off the road, stay out of places. I'm constantly washing my hands. I went to a big hand sanitizer. I got one of those big hand sanitizers. That's completely gone. So I'm constantly trying, and I'm always using stuff to open up the doors at work, because I don't like to touch the door handles right now, because you just never know. Because, we have a lot of cases in Delaware right now, more than Marion, believe it or not. And
about double.
It kind of freaks me out, So.
Well, I've said it since the beginning, and I still feel this way. As Tracy said, if you have any symptoms, not even a fever anymore, if you just feel off, call your doctor. See if that person needs you to get the test. Because if you catch it early, it seems like it's much more easy to deal with than if you catch it late.
Right. Absolutely. And I heard her say the other symptoms now is headache. Well, I've been getting headache way before this, but last 3 weeks I had bad headache. But I think that's another condition that I have. But right now I don't have a cough or anything like that I know of. Unless I cough in my sleep, I don't know.
According to these medical people, and I have to take their word on this, they are the experts, the peak of this is going to be 40 to 70% of the population in Ohio. Now, you know, that's every other person.
Absolutely, yeah. Really scary. It's getting really scary, and it's getting more aggressive. People's going to have to take this more seriously. Because I noticed, driving on 2023 every day, going to work, I go back and forth to work, to home and stuff. I noticed the traffic is not slowing down. I don't know about you and Mary, when you drive into the radio station every morning, if you notice the traffic is heavier. I wouldn't think this would be a central job or out there, but I guess there must be because traffic is not letting. I don't think it's leading up. I don't think it's letting up. I mean, it's the same old traffic that I see every morning heading to work every day.
Well, I think here in Marion, it's a lot less because all the restaurants are closed and a lot of the shops are closed at this point. So it does look less to me. But I don't know how long this is going to be able to go on, because at some point when these numbers hit a certain peak, and I imagine that's going to happen sometime in April, there's just going to be a lot of people who can't go to work. If you are diagnosed with this, nobody's going to let you go to work. So, it's not going to be a matter of working from home then. It's going to be, you're going to be home, period.
You're going to be home quarantined. Yeah, exactly. You think they would, the companies out there will recognize that, say, hey, let's get these people, healthy people home. And let them start. That way, they don't have a chance to get it. So that way, we can keep the company rolling.
To be frank, at this point, I'm kind of past the work at home stage. Unemployed. We have bills now that have been passed by the federal government. Stimulus checks are coming, and they have passed unemployment reform that you'll get 100% of your unemployment for 4 months. At this point, I think businesses have to, if you're not essential, I think you have to stop work at this point. Work just going to have to stop. There's something better than the almighty dollar at this point. If that's what you're waiting on, I think it's time to call it a day.
Well, here's the deal. If your job is essential and they're not shutting down, and you think you do get the, you get this disease because you're going into work every day, right? You end up getting it. Okay, did your doctor take you off? You don't get unemployment for that, do you?
I don't know in this situation. I know the rules have changed when it comes to unemployment because you certainly didn't get 100% anymore, and they certainly had a waiting week, and that's been waived. There have been some changes to this, but my point is, I'm saying there are people who are going to have to work. Sanitation's going to have to work. Police and fire are going to have to work. People in government are going to have to work. Media is going to have to work because we have to relay the message. But outside of that, we're going to have to decide what is essential and what is not. Because right now, that net is a little wider than I think it should be.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. It really is. It's a little wider. To me, essential, I would think there's emergencies, hospitals, stuff that's really emergency, like tow trucks, if you get your car breakdown, stuff like that. Like, it's emergency. If your car breaks down, they got to come and get you. Fire department, all that. That's what I would think it would be, but I guess you're right. The band is so wide out there. People are just falling underneath the guidelines in certain areas. It just was not written correctly.
No, and I don't know. Hopefully, as the numbers rise, and they're going to rise, I believe the governor will change that. I think he'll have to at some point. If the curve does not go down. I mean, I think we all at this point are just saying, please go down, start to curve down a little bit. But if it doesn't, I believe that will change at some point.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I see a lot more cars on the road, because, like I was telling you earlier, the van is so wide, all these companies, and, you know, of course, they, you know, we don't want the stock market to crash or the economy to crash. You know, we want business to keep rolling, but we also want to protect the American people, too. So if we don't keep this under control and keep people at home best we can or best we can, then it's just going to get out of control even worse. So, again, like you said, the van is so wide out there in these companies that are staying open for not really a good reason. Well, that's a problem on our end.
I don't know. In our last few minutes today, let's try to talk about something light. I don't. It's very deep at this point, and the mayor, I think, is going to call in next hour. You know, that's our plan, and we'll hear what's going on in the city. But at this particular point, what's light in the world? What's going on that's not so serious?
You know, positive days are coming. I mean, you know, there's positive around the corner. You know, you want to try to stay positive throughout this whole step. I try to stay positive. I go into my job every day and say hi to everybody and how you doing and try to stay positive with people. But
oh, I got one for you. I got one for you real quick. Yesterday, the new Paper Rings podcast went up, episode 6 of the Paper Rings podcast that I do with Michelle Whitaker and Abby Crowman. And they made fun of me about how I say the word process and progress.
I told you. You know what? Thank you, Abby and Michelle. Thank you very much.
Well, no, but I mean, it is progress and process. I don't know. I don't know why people can't pronounce that right. This is a process, and we are making progress.
Oh, man. Now, okay, tell me if this one is the mowing company. Is that considered a emergency company?
A mowing company.
The yard really needs to be. Yeah, like a mowing company. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go back on the non-positive side here, but I just happen to see a mowing company doing yards right now.
They haven't stopped building the Dunkin' Donuts either, so who knows? But I just
I wouldn't think a yard need to be done at this point.
By the way, I knew they were out there listening. I just got a message from Abby and Michelle that he agrees with us. You don't listen. You're not exactly an English teacher. I mean, let's be honest.
Who?
You.
Who?
You.
No, but I'm telling you, I correct you. And also Michelle and Abby's sister, I feel listening. He also says asbestos.
Yeah, asbestos. It's what you say. It's asbestos.
No, it's asbestos.
No, that's how you say it down in Kentucky. Now, that's how Abby would say it and her relatives, but how it's really pronounced is asbestos. That is. It's progress and process. Now, why can't people get that? That's not English. It's aunt, progress, process, asbestos.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to have to move to, like, France or something, because that's like French talk. That's not American talk.
Listen, when all of us finally do get together, which I hope is sometime soon, you will see how wrong they are on most issues.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm sorry to say that during a pandemic like this.
I'm so glad that somebody finally agrees with me on that.
Yeah, but you got to understand, one of them's from Kentucky, so you can't really count that because, you know, she probably fell out of a holler in West Virginia and landed in Kentucky and somehow made her way up here.
Would you stop? That's not right.
Know that because she's from Kentucky, her jaw is probably half unhinged. She can't say progress and process.
That's not true. I say the same thing.
But I'm saying what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong, and just because people are all doing the wrong thing doesn't make it right.
Oh, man. I don't know. We'll have to talk to your English teacher, I guess. Who was your English teacher?
Well, I had several of them. I was in school for many, many years. I know she came from a holler. I will bet any amount of money that Abby at some point came from a holler. I just know
I don't think she's from Kentucky, is she?
Well, she likes to say that, but I've never seen the facts on that yet. You know, I'm going to have to see the documentation that she did not come from Kentucky, because she seems like a Kentuckian.
What's wrong with Kentucky people, though?
Nothing at all. I love people from Kentucky and West Virginia and Indiana and Michigan and Pennsylvania. I love those people. They're down-home people. That's why I don't understand why people take that as a dig. I think it's great.
And they make the best biscuits and gravy. Oh, my gosh.
Well, of course they do, and she likes to do that, too. And she, you know, gets her... She did make good dumplings. Now, boy, if I could get some of those blueberry dumplings and, like, a...
Oh, here we go again.
No, no,
wait,
I'm just...
So, wait a minute. Now you're praising her. You just...
Well, no, I'm telling... She did a good job with the blueberry dumplings, and she did that, and I appreciate that for my birthday, and I thank her for that. Those were very good. She used lemon zest or something and grated her knuckles on the grater. I don't know what she did, but it was very good.
There you go.
So I give her praise on that. And Michelle made me a chicken sandwich the other night that was very good. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, that's great.
Yes.
Well, I hate to jump off here, but I have to head to the dugout at this point. But,
you head to the dugout.
And I will talk to you later on today.
That's copyright infringement, you know.
Okay, fine. I'll use my other one then. Ready?
No, don't do it. That's copyrighted too. Don't do it.
No, he's gone. He says I can use it.
Just because if he's dead, he didn't tell you you could use it.
No, it was will to me.
No,
will.
just say you're making progress. Say progress one time.
I'm making progress.
No, oh, geez. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye bye. And away we go. We got 4 minutes left. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'll probably never get the blueberry dumplings now. There was something else she made that was good, too, though. Gosh, what was it? She made blueberry dumplings that were very good. Seems to me like she made something else that was good, too. Not the biscuits and gravy, because that wasn't my deal. But I don't like anybody's biscuits and gravy, so I can't say anything bad. Now, we're not going anywhere. They say in a way we go. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just making a point here. And also, at this particular point, I do not have the video that I want. So let's make that a point. Go ahead, caller.
If you go back to your elementary English, a vowel followed by a consonant followed by a vowel says its name. A vowel followed by two consonants doesn't. So it is progress.
But you know, in it if you go
if
to...
P-R-O-G-E-R-S-S, something like that, then it would say its name. It would be a O. It would say the letter O.
Right, but you know, I think in America, we have made those phonetic rules, and I don't think they're necessarily correct, because we took our English from England... And they say progress and process because it's a root word to go forward. People don't, I think, understand that progress means to go forward, and that's why pro is the root word. So I don't know how we get progress.
Well, like I just explained to you, if you go back to your basic English, a vowel followed by a consonant followed by a vowel says its name, the letter O. If it's a vowel followed by two consonants, no.
But wouldn't that...
It doesn't.
I don't know, because that we would have to say the same thing for aunt then, wouldn't we? But it is aunt. Right?
It doesn't say its name either way, aunt or aunt.
Oh, you mean... Okay, because you don't say you. But I... Well, I don't know. That's
right.
Interesting.
But see if two vowels together, then it says its name also, so it would be ant. Like A, ant.
Right, but we know that's not true. Because an ant is an insect, and an aunt is your you know, mother's brother. Oh, it's getting deep here this morning. Thank goodness we still have this.
Maybe your mother's brother was an aunt.
Well, that could be. It could be. You never know. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. 740-383-9944. See, we've got to laugh. Gee whiz. But, you know, I would have liked the blueberry dumplings. What was the other thing she cooked? I thought she cooked something else. Man, the brain's starting to go. Huh. I don't know. I know it was blueberry dumplings. I thought it was something else. Maybe I'm wrong on this. Who knows? You know, maybe we'll see them. I'm sure I'll see them sometime soon, and you know, they'll try to say that I'm wrong. They like me to be wrong. I don't really understand that. I don't root for people to be wrong. But boy, they do. They like it when I'm wrong. But by the way, check out the Paper Rings podcast. Episode number 6, up as of yesterday. Is it progress or progress? Process or process? You tell me. We're going to break. Coming back with the mayor next hour. And you on the toll-free line. It won't take up the whole hour. So stay tuned. Much more here on WWGH Radio.
You said, now you'd be able to die happy. Why did that mean so much?
Well, you see, I'm 106. And this is my wish. I always wish that would happen, a part of it. And I could go to heaven and